Well, good morning. How's everybody today? All right, you're awake. That's good. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. Have you ever had a dream so real that when you woke up, it impacted like your thoughts and your emotions going into that next morning? So for example, you have a dream about a friend or maybe a significant other or spouse, and in that dream, that individual does something that just really makes you mad. And then you wake up in the next morning, and that dream is just kind of there, and you're like, I don't know why, but I'm mad at you. Anybody had that before? Okay, so I'm not alone. I will let you into the scary world of Brent Clark this morning. I have like sleep issues that happen occasionally. My wife will attest to this. She didn't know this when she married me. I kind of kept this hidden once I had her trapped and then she couldn't get out. But there are moments in my life, it doesn't happen as much now, but in my teens and 20s definitely, where my dreams would be so real that I would find myself participating in them, like physically, like, you know, like I can remember, there's a few that I remember. One is just, Hannah was very young at the time, you know, an infant toddler age. And I remember in my dream, somebody had taken her and they had taken her to the top of a building and they were gonna drop her off this building. Okay, so as a parent, you know, this is like a terrifying dream, right? So physically I get up in the bed, and I'm standing on the bed while my wife is dead asleep, and I'm like this, Carrie was not amused, to say the least. I could tell you the other story where I actually destroyed a light fixture on the ceiling in my sleep, but we'll save that one for another time. You know, today, how many of you would say you dream a lot? Do you have a lot of dreams? Do you remember your dreams? How many of you remember your dreams? Okay, so, you know, for many of us, I don't remember a lot of my dreams, but obviously dreams still happen. And today, we don't usually put a lot of stock in dreams or in visions if we happen to remember them. But, you know, when you begin to look at the Bible, you kind of begin to understand that dreams and visions were a really important part of how God would communicate to his people. Now, we always have a bad dream and we think, oh, indigestion, bad pizza, right? But in the Bible, we see that God actually would use this as a way to speak to people. And today, what I want us to look at is an incredible vision or dream that one of the Old Testament prophets had that was very timely, very important, but it revealed to the prophet and as he communicated it to the people, God's heart for his people, and it was an incredible reminder that even in the most hopeless situations, that God can still move. And so I'm really excited about this message today. If I haven't met you, my name is Brent. I'm the lead pastor here at Ashworth. And as Pastor Ryan said, we're kicking off this new series today. We're calling Unpause, Resuming Life with God. How many of you would feel like in some area of your life you've had to hit pause since March? Yeah, yep. Vacations are on hold. Going to work is on hold. Good grooming habits are on hold. You know who you are. We won't call you out. But even as Pastor Ryan was saying, some of us, our spiritual lives, we've kind of hit the pause button on. And that's a challenge for us. And in the beginning, it was probably okay, right? Because we thought this pandemic hit, and I can remember the early days, and it was March, 15th? We canceled our first Sunday, and I remember sitting that week with our staff and talking to them, and we were like, all right, can we be back by Easter? I wasn't that optimistic. And then I remember going, what about Mother's Day? Nope. And it's just been that way the whole time. And I think for many of us, we hit the pause button and we're just kind of waiting for that moment to unpause. That moment's not ever coming. And so we want to challenge you through this series to go, because that moment, whatever that moment is that we're looking for, may not ever come. What if right now we go ahead and we realize that even through what's happening in the world, that God isn't asking us to just sit on our hands and do nothing. That right now, even in this moment, God is still moving. God is still speaking. God is still calling to us to be a part of what he is doing in the world. And right now, he's able to accomplish and do something because of the pandemic that he's never been able to do or accomplish before, and he's inviting us to be a part of it. So this morning, we're asking all of us collectively to pick up our remote control and hit the unpause or the play button in our life. And this morning, what I specifically want to look at is this crazy vision that the prophet Ezekiel had, and talk about how we unpause and we come back to life. We come alive. Now, I know for many of you, you're probably thinking, this is a great thought. If only I had a remote to my life. If only it was so easy for me to just go, sure, Brent, you said it, I'm going to do it. There, I'm done. See you later. Sermon over. But we all know that's not how it happens. It never happens that way. Because what happens sometimes, and maybe you're here, is that there comes a point where we've hit pause on our life long enough where we begin to feel hopeless, where we feel dead, and we felt dead for so long that we really begin to wonder, is there anything that could bring us back to life? The Jewish people were in the same position. You know, they'd gone through some incredible things. They were, you know, God had called Abraham and said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he said, I'm going to give you this promised land. But before that happened, they're in Egypt and they're made slaves for 100 years. And then God miraculously delivers them from Egypt and through the miracles of the Red Sea and the Ten Commandments and all these amazing things are happening. And he led them to the promised land, and they went in and they conquered this land that God had given them. And here they are establishing a nation, and God, everything is just going their way until they turn their backs on God, until they just say, okay, God, thanks for everything up till this point, but we got it from here and we're just going to kind of do our own thing. And as you read through the Old Testament, you realize that God removed his protective hand from the nation that had been there and kind of guarded them, because they turned their back on him and they weren't doing what God needed them to do, which was to reveal God to the world. God allowed others to come in and invade them. And one of those nations that came in were the Babylonians. And they come in and they carry them off and away from their nation, away from their cities, away from their homeland. And Ezekiel was one of these guys that was taken away, was taken into exile with the people. And they're sitting there, and Ezekiel's a prophet, and he's a priest. And the book that bears his name in the Old Testament is a very long book. Anybody ever read Ezekiel? It's long. It can be long. But it's a really fascinating story, because as you read through the first part of it, you find out that it's not a happy story. It's God kind of painting the picture of everything they'd done wrong and why there's judgment against them. And then it moves to why there's going to be judgment against the nations. And you know, this isn't, if you're feeling down and depressed, I don't recommend Ezekiel 1 through 35 or 34 in that range. It's not a pick-me-up. But I will say, it's a fascinating book. It's incredible what God is communicating. And if you have an interest in it, the Bible Project, anybody familiar with thebibleproject.com? Great website. They have a two-part series on Ezekiel. I watched it this week. It is worth your time. It's like 14 minutes, 7 minutes a piece, to give you kind of the backstory and what God is doing through the book or through this time period. But as you go through Ezekiel, you understand that they have been in captivity for about 10 years. Siri's talking to me. Don't do that. That was weird. So they've been in captivity about 10 years, and God has been speaking to Ezekiel for probably about 5 years of this time. And then you come to, like I said, the latter part of the book, and you come to Ezekiel chapter 37. And Ezekiel has this incredible vision. Now, that one thing I need you to understand about his vision is it's an apocalyptic vision. We sometimes don't understand what that means, because when we think apocalypse, we think end of the world, right? Things are blowing up and it's all coming to an end. But really, what apocalyptic literature is, it's when God reveals to us things that we can't see. It doesn't necessarily mean the future, but just imagine, if you would, that God kind of peels back the curtain, and humanly we get to see into a world that we might not otherwise get to see. So it's not always about the future or end times or those kind of things. It's just about seeing things from a different perspective that God is allowing us to see. And that's what happens with Ezekiel right here in this moment, is God pulls back the curtain. And there's a lot of imagery, and there's a lot of poetic and metaphor and things like this. But usually with an apocalyptic message, there's one major point. And so what I want us to see here is as we get ready to read this passage, Ezekiel is sitting as an exile. He's not in his homeland. He's been gone for about 10 years. And God pulls back the curtain, and he allows Ezekiel to see something that otherwise he wouldn't have been able to see. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. This is the first 14 verses right here. It says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I, Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Pretty freaky moment, right? If you'd been there, it might have scared us a little bit. "I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." You know, as you look at this, you know, as I said, imagine you're sitting here as a prisoner in a foreign land. You don't want to be here. There's nothing about this situation that you're liking. And this has happened 10 years ago, and you're probably thinking, you know, for the first year, you're thinking, okay, when is something going to change? It's like being in a pandemic and the first 30 days, and you think, all right, something's going to give, and then it doesn't. And 1 year in this exile becomes 2 years. It becomes 4 years. It becomes 10 years. And here they sit. Let me just ask you, in that moment, what do you think your emotional state would be? What do you think you would be thinking right here, 10 years into exile from your homeland? Go ahead, give me responses.
Regret.
Regret. Gonna die here.
Yeah, hopeless.
You understand that mentality though, right? You understand that in that moment, everything you thought you understood about who you were as a people, we're God's chosen people. God has called us. He's given us this land. Our God is the one true God. Do you think in that moment there's ever a thought that crosses your mind that, maybe our God is not all that we thought he was? Maybe he's not as good or as big or as strong or as whatever as we thought he was. All these things. God loved us. Does he really love us? If he loved us, how could he leave us here? Can God be trusted? Will these things ever change? You see, as Ezekiel is going, God leads him spiritually into this valley, and he looks out. He sees that. He sees a physical representation of what the people are actually going through. He sees these dry bones, and he used two words as a descriptor. He says they were many, and they were very dry. They were, whatever battle had taken place here long ago had caused tremendous loss of life. And when he talks about them being very dry, brittle, arid, what he's talking about is in this, they've been there so long. Any hope that they had of this army coming back was long since gone. The flesh has rotted off. There is nothing but total desolation. There's no hope of resurrection. And not wanting Ezekiel to miss the point of what he's seeing, God tells him in verse 11, he says, what you're looking at is Israel. Their hope is gone. They are the dry bones. And then God asks Ezekiel a question. Can these bones live? Now think about that for a moment. Now we have the Bible. We've seen the end of the story, right? But Ezekiel in this moment, seeing nothing but bones, is asked kind of a silly question. Can these bones live? The obvious answer is no. They're dead. They're long since dead. What do you mean? The obvious answer is no. But Ezekiel gives a very telling response. He says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Ha, that's a good answer. That's a really good answer. Why is it a good answer? Because it really reveals more about what he believes about God than anything else. I mean, how would you have answered that? No, I doubt it. Are you crazy? But Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign, we don't use that word much in our everyday language. What does that mean? It means the one that's in total control. So even by addressing Sovereign, Lord, Yahweh, he says, you are the one that's in control. And I still recognize that even in the midst of exile, even in the midst of complete and total desolation, I recognize that you are the sovereign Lord, the highest and the mightiest, the one with authority. And his second answer reveals possibility. You alone know. He knows if he is the sovereign Lord, that nothing is beyond God's capability. And he doesn't say, I know you're going to do this, God. He doesn't say, you can't do this, God. He says, but God, you know, you can do something if you choose to. He recognizes that God is not limited, even if Ezekiel can't see a way. That God is not limited by what we see. God is not limited by what we think we know. God is not limited if all we ever see are dry bones. So here we have this hopeless situation. Ezekiel even says that God says that, yep, all hope is gone. But then something amazing happens. God calls Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak to the bones. And here's what's amazing about this moment, because God could have just easily said, all right, you see those bones, Ezekiel? Now just have a seat over there and watch me. Bones come back to life. Breath enter the bones. But God doesn't do that. You see, we forget sometimes that even though God is sovereign and God is all-powerful and God is in control, some way, somehow, in his great plan, he says, I don't want to do this on my own. I'm inviting you, Ezekiel, in this moment to join me and take part in my great work in the world. Now, just imagine, put yourself in Ezekiel's shoes. I want you to speak to the bone. Me? You want me to speak to the bones? What an honor. What a privilege. What an incredible opportunity. Are you sure you want me? Yes. And he says to him, I want you to speak to the bones. Our relational God is never content to do things on his own. God always wants to partner with us. I think God's a little nuts for doing that, because I've worked with my children before. And my children, you want to help me with this? Well, I know what. It's going to take me about 3 times as long and about 15 mistakes before we get to the end. But God goes, you know what? 3 times as long is fine. And 15 mistakes along the way, that's all good. I still want you to join me in what we're doing. So God calls Ezekiel to speak to the bones. It's just a crazy, crazy moment. Could you imagine if other people had been around Ezekiel in that moment? What they might have said to him. Or if he just said, you know, God told me to do this. The peanut gallery's always behind us, right? Telling us, what are you doing? You're nuts. Can't you see they're dead? There's no hope here. You're out of your mind. And yet in this moment, Ezekiel does exactly what God asked him to do. He opens his mouth and he speaks. He preaches to a dead community. And something amazing and frightening and mind-blowing begins to happen. These dry bones lying in a valley for years start to shake and rattle. They start to move. And slowly they come back together. And the shin bone connects to the knee bone. And the knee bone connects, you know the song. Yep, you know it. Then tendons start appearing, connecting the bones. To be honest, this is where I would be out. I don't do blood and guts. TV shows that start showing things like this, I have to cover my eyes. Flesh, I'm out. I'm done. But as he speaks to the bones, as these bones come back together, something incredible really doesn't happen. You have these bodies that are put together, but there's no life in them. There's no life. And so there's a second thing that happens here, and God tells Ezekiel to speak now, not to the bones, but to the breath. So here's a fun fact for you. The word that's translated breath and spirit and wind in this passage, those 14 verses, it's all the same Hebrew word, ruach. It means all the same thing. It's a rich word, and it gives the idea of air in motion, like wind or breath, and it encompasses the breath we need to live, but it also encompasses the Spirit of God. Remember back to Genesis chapter 1, says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You know what that word is? Ruach. The Ruach of God. And then Ezekiel in this passage is told here to speak not just to the bones, but speak to the Ruach, the breath, the wind, the Spirit, to come into these bones and give them life. Don't miss the correlation here between creation and what's happening in Ezekiel. In creation, you find in Genesis chapter 2, it says God took the dirt of the earth and shaped and formed it into humanity. But he wasn't done, because even in Genesis 2, it says he breathed into him the breath of life. And as you read Ezekiel, it's that same two-step process that's taking place here. A Jewish person would have immediately drawn this connection together. You know, for us, it's also this incredible reminder of when Jesus Christ was here, as we look forward into the Gospel of John, and we see that Jesus is giving life to his disciples, and he's past his resurrection. He's already risen from the dead. He appears to his disciples, and in that moment, he says, disciples, I'm going to send you. In John 20, 22, it says, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. There's something about the breath, there's something about the Spirit that we cannot deny or ignore. But Ezekiel obeys, and an amazing thing happens. The lifeless bones now are living bodies. A new act of creation, a rebirth has happened. The impossible has become possible because of God. So let me wrap this up for us today. And be prepared. I'm going to need you to get your phones here in just a second. I'm going to have you respond in a way. But at face value, when you read the prophecy of Ezekiel, what you need to understand is that we can't just say this is for us. That no, the original context places it in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, who was hopeless, who had no thought that God was ever going to rescue them or revive them. They were just completely lost. And this vision for them in that moment was, God is not forgotten. God is going to move. He's going to bring you back to life. But even though it's in that context, there's still something for us today to understand about who God is, because it's bigger than just what God was doing in the Old Testament, because we know as we read through the Bible, there's this narrative, this storyline that God has been writing from the very beginning, that he's still writing through us today. And here's what I want you to see from this story is just this. As God is speaking to Ezekiel, he is still speaking to us today. The question is, are we listening? God is still showing us how things can be. Is anybody just getting a little sick of politics and just all this, and you just kind of go, I'm done with it. It can never get any better. The message of Ezekiel is that God can still show us how things can be. Not only that, but God still invites us to be a part of what he's doing if we're willing to follow his guidance. You know, as the Spirit led Ezekiel, it said he showed him. God's doing this. God's showing him that that moment where God is leading us is an invitation from God himself to join him in his work in the world. And then the last one is God still brings life from death. And sometimes I think we forget that. This is critical. And honestly, this is kind of an outline for us over the next several weeks as we continue this Unpaused series. We're going to dig and dive into each of these things. But as I wrap up today, I want to ask you, as you hear the story of Ezekiel, who are you in the story? Because I think there are two perspectives that we can come at this story from. And the first one is Ezekiel. I think maybe you feel like Ezekiel. You look around you and you see dry bones and you see friends and family. You see community. You see politics. And in this moment, God is showing you today that what you thought might have been dead isn't as dead as you thought it might be. And that God is going to use you to do something amazing to speak into that and bring about life. Maybe you see the divisiveness and the hatred and the chaos and the destruction. Are you willing to speak to it? You see, God didn't just show it to Ezekiel. He said, now speak to it. And here's where I think we get a little off, though. Because there, remember that two-step process? Sometimes we speak to one side of the process without the other. We want to speak to what's dead, racism in our community. And we want to speak to that, which is great. We should. But that's only step one. Because what's the second part of anything we're trying to speak into and bring back to life? It is speak to the Spirit. We cannot forget the spiritual aspect of everything that happens around us in the life of believers. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. You may love Donald Trump. You may hate Donald Trump. I don't care. Your battle's not against Donald Trump. Our battle is against flesh and blood. And if all we ever do is speak to the bones, we can't go, well, I guess God doesn't care. No, he does care. He's waiting for us to speak to the Spirit. To speak. He's given us the authority to speak into those situations and see life come from it. We've got to move beyond speaking to the bones and speak to the Spirit. If you're Ezekiel, we have to allow God to lead us to see things not just as they are, because I do want you to understand that Ezekiel saw things as they were. He didn't have rose-colored glasses on. He saw it, but he also saw the potential of how things could be. And God may be looking at you in your life right now, and as you see something around you, and he may be asking you the question this morning, do you think these bones can live? What's your answer to God? There's another perspective, is it's maybe you feel like the dry bones. Maybe you feel dead. Maybe you feel hopeless. You see dead bones all around you. Maybe it's your marriage, your finances, your dreams, your relationships, your health, your attitude, whatever. Maybe it's your spiritual life. Maybe you're questioning God, you're questioning your faith, and doubts are overwhelming you where there weren't doubts before. You see, I think this message isn't just for the Ezekiels in the room. I think some of you are there. But I think it's for those of you who feel dry and dead and hopeless. God has not forgotten you. And what appears dead to you is not dead to God. And he is still in the business of bringing things back to life. Jesus died on the cross, rose for the third day. And if Jesus can rise from the third day, defeating death, sin, and the grave, there is nothing in your life that can't be resurrected as well. There is hope. I sat in my office this week and I read and I reread and I reread and I reread this passage from Ezekiel. And this Friday or Thursday, as I was sitting in my office, I felt God saying to me, Brent, I want you to be Ezekiel to this crowd on Sunday, whether they're in this room or they're watching online. So this morning, I want to speak to the dry bones. Those of you who feel dead inside, those who feel hopeless, you feel your marriage is dead, your son or your daughter is gone, your job and your finances, you feel hopeless, your faith journey with following Jesus non-existent right now. And if that describes you this morning, I want to say to you, dry bones, hear the word of the sovereign Lord. He will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. And this morning I speak to the Ruach, the breath, the spirit. This is what the Lord God Almighty, sovereign, says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that you might live. There is breath for you this morning. There is life for you today. Where in your life do you need that message? Where in your life do you see dead, dry bones everywhere you look? Where are you hopeless? The message for you this morning is there is more going on than you can see, and God is not done yet. Now, we want to pray about this. We want to pray with you about this. And if you're willing to share it, I want you to take out your phone. There's a phone number that's going to be on the screen, and if it's something that's dead in your life, we want you to text that word. Whatever it might be, if it's friendship, relationship, marriage, finances, whatever. It's anonymous. We won't know who sent it. We checked that box. So if you're afraid of that, your name doesn't pop up on the screen. But what we want to know is how can we pray for you and how can we pray together for where you see death and dead and dry bones. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We've asked Pastor Amy to share a song this morning called Come Alive. As she shares this song, we want you to sit in just a moment of reflection, listening to the words, thinking about where you find death in your life and how you want the dry bones to live and the breath to bring life.